Before we get started with today's episode of Within the Realm, I'd like to send a shout out to our listener Scott in Seattle. Scott, thanks for listening. Welcome to Within the Realm. I'm your host, Steve Garrett. Within the Realm is about stories within my realm, or stories that start there. Today's episode is one of the latter types. I happened to be along for the ride when my wife, her mother, and her sisters snagged a tour of what had been their grandparents' home in Siloam Springs, Arkansas. It was, and still is, a stately building, built on a bluff, overlooking downtown and a large municipal park. The house had character. It was built by the Pyatt family in the early 1930s. It was made of gray stone, with large windows to provide an excellent view into the valley below. It was very castle-like, both inside and out. The house is now the office of a local nonprofit, but to my wife and her sisters, it will always be Grandma's house. I was fortunate enough to record the visit.
The fieldstone.
What year was the house originally built?
1932. And Grandma and Grandpa bought it from the Pyatts?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
In 63.
So it's only really had three owners.
This is where she had her dining room table. The stove was back here.
These were her coat closets and storage.
Who washed the windows?
Not me.
Grandma. I hear
Grandma.
And I remember all of her books That's what I thought. Okay.
Connie, what was your favorite thing about the house?
Everything. I loved it. I just loved all the windows. And I remember that hill back there was all cleared off.
Yes.
And Steve and I, Uncle Larry, would pay us like $2 to rake leaves. And then I would run down the hill and I ran into a tree one time with my head. You can walk everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, if you need to go to the medical center, you just walked right down there. If you need to go downtown, you just...
Oh, yeah. My favorite part of the house was the steps down to the park. Just, I love that you could do that and go up and the view from down there. That's what we were saying when Connie and I slipped over. We thought that plate, that out there was so much bigger.
Yeah. Yep.
Like, everything seemed so much bigger.
Yeah. Chris, what was your favorite part of the house?
Getting to go up into Uncle Larry's room, because really, we always like, wow, all this stuff he had up there. But and being so little, this thing was just huge. I mean, you could run all over this place. But my favorite was also going down to the park.
Oh, let me give you a memory. 1974, the flood.
The flood. Oh,
looking out these windows right here and watching the first cars start going into Sabre Creek with the flood. And I had Carrie with me. You were a baby, and I was taking care of you.
Well, now, I would go down and help them bring up, like, there was stuff that was floating that they finally got out, and we'd bring it up and set it up here so nobody could get it.
But I remember the first car going floating down Sabre Creek.
Yeah, it came from...
Yeah, I just loved coming to Grandma's house.
Yeah.
Linda, what's your favorite thing about this house?
Just coming home to Mom and Dad.
Noodles, her homemade noodles.
Oh, yeah.
That she'd always make.
Sitting at the table and watching downtown. I loved that view before it was all grown up.
So we were all sad when she moved out of this house.
But she finally got into a house that had central heat and air.
I was just sad. It was just, love. I felt love.
Yeah. What do you feel right now? When you being
nostalgic,
in the house?
Nostalgic. Kind of sad how some of it's changed, but... Happy, like a lot of the original
stuff is
windows
here.
Are still here, and
Grandma was just always such a fun place to be, and so that brings such good, happy memories back for me. Just sitting on her lap and hanging out.
The grandparents in this case moved to their new home in a subdivision on the edge of town near the new highway that bypassed the downtown area, which had become the new economic center for that particular community. This sounds like the fate of many other towns and cities throughout the United States during that period of time. But in the conversation, did you hear the comment about being able to walk to the medical center, the shops downtown, just about anywhere you'd want to go? With the advent of the automobile in the suburb, the walkable community and neighborhood has become a diminished staple in the United States. Some have suggested the loss of town squares and traditional neighborhoods are a big part of the loss of the sense of community in our country today. The sprawl of suburbs and subdivisions and even small cities has separated residents by both distance, income levels, and home ownership. To combat this loss of community, a new design theme emerged beginning in the 1980s and 90s. New Urbanism. The Charter of New Urbanism, written in 1993, makes this statement about its aims. We advocate the restructuring of public policy and development practices to support the following principles. Neighborhoods should be diverse in use and population. Communities should be designed for the pedestrian and transit, as well as the automobile. Cities and towns should be shaped by physically defined and universally accessible public spaces and community institutions. Urban places should be framed by architecture and landscape design that celebrate local history, climate, ecology, and building practice. Shopping centers with mixed use, meaning retail, offices, and homes, have incorporated elements of new urbanism in their design. Rapidly growing suburban communities have implemented new urbanism design in the development of walkable, mixed-use centers that create a downtown for a community that never really had one. Two examples in my neck of the woods are the City Center Project in Lenexa, Kansas, and the downtown area in Gladstone, Missouri. Check for links to these projects in the show notes on our website. I spoke to a local architect about this loss of character in homes and the lack of community in our cities and towns. Amy Gray of A3G Architects in Liberty, Missouri, sees preservation and restoration of actual downtowns and traditional neighborhoods as an important component of delivering on the aims of new urbanism. She not only believes in the idea, she has literally bought into it. She purchased an older historic building just off the Courthouse Square in Liberty and converted it into her own office space.
Can you describe this building and some of the history behind the building that you currently occupy?
Sure. This is a Three Gables style home. There's a handful of them here in Northwest Missouri. Three Gables. It has three peaked gables on the front of the home that kind of are the defining architectural features. On the upper floor, those have Gothic top arched windows, and on the main floor, they have double arched windows. So it's a Victorian period home, but style-wise, it's kind of in between. It's really its own style being Three Gables. All of the ones that I have looked at all had lap siding on them originally. They have the kind of dramatic staircase as the entry piece where you come in, and then kind of double stack spaces. And I believe the other ones both did also have the bay windows on the ends when they were originally built. It was originally housed. It's been numerous things over the years. It's been law firms. It's been divided up into an apartment building. I think at one point it went back to a single family. When we purchased, it was an antique shop. So literally, you know, floor to ceiling, wall to wall, it was packed with, you know, used items. And so honestly, when I bought it, I didn't really know what I was getting into as far as what's the quality of the walls and floors and things like that. But our office has been here in Liberty for 7 years and just really wanted to find a way, first of all, to own a building and be able to be a part of downtown. I'm the vice president. I've been design chair for Historic Downtown Liberty for several years, which is, this is a Missouri Main Street organization called Historic Downtown Liberty, Inc. And majority of my volunteer time, which is a lot, I volunteer probably 20, 25 hours a month to different things. Most of it goes to Historic Downtown Liberty. And I thought, I need some skin in the game. The reason I chose to move to Liberty, and so I've done a lot of urban planning, studying in college and whatnot, and they have what's called TND, Traditional Neighborhood Development. And then the modern version of that is what we call new urbanism. So some examples here would be, Zona Rosa would be an example of new urbanism, right? So we're trying to take those old 1950s neighborhood concepts and apply them to new construction. Well, to me, Liberty already had all of those things that I was looking for. They have on-street parking. They have sidewalks and street trees. They have alleys and detached garages. They have big houses sitting right next to tiny houses sitting right next to an apartment building. To me, those are all the things that are good about urban planning. We should be able to accommodate everybody within a block, right? We should have a house that's accessible for someone that's old or handicapped. We should have an apartment for a young person or a single person. We should have a patio home for the aging couple. We should have the big family home. We should have all of those things within one block. And kind of after the 50s in the United States, we started segregating everything out. If you're in an apartment complex, we don't want to be by those people if we own our home and it's nice. So we're going to make a cul-de-sac down here that's a dead-end neighborhood that's disconnected from the street grid that isn't a part of our neighborhood because those people live there. And I think really this whole movement got started with Jackie Kennedy. So her first big project was that she wanted to save Union Station. And so she started doing that in, I think it was the 60s. So she got this passion for, we're going to save this old building. They were going to tear it down and do something new with it. That spurred on national Main Street organizations and saying, we have to preserve these old towns. We can't rebuild it. We can't make this again. If we have to preserve it. It's our history, it's our heritage as Americans.
What does having a historic downtown and what's that mean to me?
I think it's allowing us to have something that feels important. I think we've made our homes, like it used to be kind of interesting, and I feel it when I drive across to Ohio for some reason more than any other place. It used to be that the biggest building in town was always the church, right? You saw the steeple from a mile away. That was the most significant architectural thing in a town. And maybe you'd get there and there'd be a little square around that. Well, what are we looking at now? We're looking at hotels, we're looking at Walmarts. We don't have the architectural significance that meant something. Things were built with hierarchy. Certain materials were used in certain places because they were residential or commercial. Now we build commercial buildings that have house roofs on them, right? So we've lost some of that delineation of things by their architectural style. So it's culture. It's holding on to culture. It's not everything looking the same all the time and kind of telling the story of where we... And there's a story within it. Like the home I lived on Franklin Street, it was a double lot behind Mom and Dad's house that... Because our house was on a tiny little lot and so was the one next to us. Well, it was the two brothers. So they bought the lot behind Mom and Dad's house and they built... And then their family went through. They all lived in the big house. Then they had their old little houses. Then as it went, Mom and Dad moved into one of the little houses and the son moved into the big house with all his kids. And it's just that history of a neighborhood that I don't think we have when every house on the street is the same size. I can't move into something smaller when I need it, you know, or into something bigger when I need it, but still stay with my community. But I think when we start to recognize like these little downtowns, that is our culture. And that's what we need to go back to.
Why is having old buildings in
a good thing? It's preserving our history, I think. And honestly, it can't be built. We don't build things the way they built things back then. So I think there's something interesting about our change as human beings of what our priorities were. You know, it used to be you built one family home and it was a forever home. And you put all of the money into the beautiful railings and the details and the shutters. And now homes are disposable. Buildings are disposable. Typically, even on a commercial building now, we build buildings for a 40-year life. That's within my life as an architect. I will design buildings that get torn down and rebuilt at least once, if not twice. That's crazy when you think of all the embodied energy to tear something down and start over. It just doesn't make sense. And I also think, I mean, we can have both, right? America's great. You can go out and live in a cookie cutter neighborhood in a McMansion if that's your taste. But I think being able to maintain and preserve, and if you've ever lived in a neighborhood like one of these, you'd never go back to, you know, a suburban cookie cutter neighborhood. I mean, you just find the neighborhood here are great, you know?
Can borrowing a few design cues from our past make for improved communities and a better quality of life? I believe it can. Like Amy said, it's about culture and history, and it's about so much more. It's about leaving a mark, your mark, on the community around you. In my hometown, many of the old buildings proudly bore a date and the name of the original owner, a mark of pride and investment, and the aim to stick around in that young community. Maybe the same sense of investment might be the thing that helps us bring together our cities, towns, and neighborhoods. It's an idea worth talking about. To bring this story full circle, we need to revisit that downtown that my wife's grandmother's house overlooked. Downtown Siloam Springs, Arkansas, has undergone a rebirth over the course of the last several years, incorporating new urbanism in its design. Check our show notes at withinpodcast.com for information on the Siloam Springs project. I'd like to thank Amy Gray of AG3 Architects for visiting with me today. Thanks for being a part of this episode of Within the Realm. Be sure to recommend us to at least one other friend that partakes in podcasts. They can find us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, and all major podcast channels. You can communicate with us at withinpodcast.com or check out our social media sites on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. At our internet home, withinpodcast.com, you can find an archive of all of our episodes, show notes, and more. While you're there, you can sign up for our email list. Within the Realm is produced by me, Steve Garrett, and our theme music is provided by 556 and a half. Transitional music was provided by Clear Views. And, as always, thanks for listening.